You are our God, you are our King, you are Almighty, and you are good.
Yes.
Lord, we praise you and we worship you. And we give you all the glory, all the praise. You are good, good, good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't worship great? Thank you so much. Now I'm thinking that healing on the streets, going from 9 o'clock to 12 a.m. sounds like a cracking idea. I don't know about you. Who fancies a go at that? Imagine what impact we could have for the glory of God. That would be fantastic. Are you game for it, Colin? Game for it. Game for it. Fantastic. Sounds like a cracking idea, doesn't it? Yeah. So it's there is so much going on that I struggle to keep track of what's going on, and that's hence all the mistakes up there. But it's fantastic. We have actually, we do have volunteers from you guys for Alpha Meal. I just need you to pop down what dates would be preferable to provide for you, and I will arrange with you. We've got nearly 20 people signed up from Alpha. That's amazing, isn't it? It's like, I haven't done any preparation, and they've just appeared. It's fantastic if they all turn up. So praise, 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 praise God for that. Am I feeding back with this? Fantastic, fantastic. So last time, we were with Jesus and his disciples in Luke. Do you want to take this down? Is it still... And the disciples were top of the world. They were, nothing could go wrong. Everything was going right. People were being healed. Demons were being cast out. Jesus was followed by crowds, and so were they. And they were doing everything right. Jesus sent away his family and said, no, these guys are my family. Yeah, if you're a follower of me, that was going on. They were top of the world. And then they followed Jesus into the storm. They did exactly what they were supposed to be doing. Yeah, and it all seemingly went incredibly pear-shaped, didn't it? The storm rolls up, and they're tossed around. These fishermen who should have known what they were doing on the Sea of Galilee have to go and wake a carpenter to show them how to like survive a storm. Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples don't say like we do, oh, we can walk through storms, Jesus, you'll sort this out, don't worry about it, it's fine, don't worry, we're fine with you. They say, we're drowning, and you don't care, at all. I love these guys, they make me so much better about myself, the disciples, I'm so glad they're in the Bible, it's fantastic. But actually, do you know what? You know, if you're going to, storms are part of following Jesus. You are going to go through storms, yeah? Following Jesus is hard. It's really, really hard. It might seem like Jesus is sleeping. It might seem that he doesn't care. But he does care. He's with you in the boat. He really, really is with you in the boat for the rains and the storms. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying it, we're born into the Christian life onto a battleship where Satan is going to drop bombs. There are going to be difficulties in life. We're not born to a cruise ship. Yeah, we're not there, oh, we're saved now, we can just chill out, nothing bad's going to happen. There's going to be storms, and often they're there for you, and they come out. It comes out good. It comes out good. So anyway, that happened. So the disciples learnt quite a bit in that storm. And they get to the other side, surprisingly. And then several things happen. We're going to go through these really, really quickly. But they get to the other side, and they meet a demon-possessed man. Jesus meets a demon-possessed man. This guy is so messed up that he lived outside of society. He couldn't engage with normal society. He couldn't get on with the day-to-day of being. He existed and lived in the graveyards and the tombs. I think that's sometimes linked to stuff. The occult, definitely. And there were many, many, many evil spirits inside him. Yeah, his life had been destroyed by many, 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 many lies from Satan, from these spirits. Yeah, I've met people like that recently. There's so many people, and you really, people like that, sometimes you don't know where to begin. It's like they're that messed up. They've heard that many lies about themselves, and it had driven him to a solitary place outside of society. But something had led this man to Jesus. Something had led this man to Jesus. And this is a guy who couldn't be restrained through chains. He was so messed up. They tried tying him up with chains, and he kept breaking the chains. He was an absolute mess, but something had led him to Jesus. He's possessed. And actually, the demons, when they meet Jesus, are scared. They're saying, oh, they freak out. Why? Because Jesus had repeatedly defeated Satan in Luke. Is it still feeding back? Is it? And then Jesus casts these demons out. He gives them permission to go into the pigs. Heather? Yeah? So, what about the pigs? So that was one of my favourite questions ever. A bit harsh on the pigs. Yeah, okay. Really, really strange story about the pigs. Yeah, very, very strange. But actually, what is it saying? It's saying that animals are not as important as human beings. They're not as lovely and beautiful as cats and dogs and animals are. You are made in the image of God. Yeah, and actually, the pigs were unclean. They were an unclean animal as far as God was concerned. What better place for an unclean spirit into an unclean animal? But yeah, the pigs. I apologise for the pigs. Yeah? But Jesus had compassion on this man. And they found, Scripture said, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So this guy was sat at Jesus' feet in his right mind. That was amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, and the people round in the area were afraid. The community was fearful that this man had been put right. If that happened today, do you think the community might be a bit scared that this man had been put right? I think he would, actually. I think we share today. It's a bit of a weird story, but actually, society doesn't want to hear stories about demons and things being cast out into pigs and things like that, and people being in the right mind. They want to go through science and all sorts of things, and science plays a part. But actually, that was an amazing thing. People freak out when you talk about spirits and demons and all sorts, but it's true. It's in the Bible. He had a radical encounter with Jesus. If you're messed up, you can have a radical encounter with Jesus. And the man wanted to follow Jesus. But this is interesting as well, but Jesus says, go tell your friends and family what God has done for you. It's very interesting that Jesus, when spirits declare who he shuts them down quickly. But now this man is empty of evil spirits and unclean spirits. He says, go and declare what I have done for you and who I am. Interesting that, isn't it? Fascinating. Fascinating. Next story. Yeah, Jesus heals the woman who was bleeding and commends her for a faith. I love she blags her healing. She pushes her way through and grabs the bottom of Jesus' coat. She's a pushy, pushy lady. Yeah, but I like that. Jesus commends her for his faith. I was reading Abraham. Abraham wrestled with God for a blessing. Do you wrestle with God for a blessing? You can ask God for stuff. It's cool. Yeah, God likes you wrestling for him and approaching him in faith for healing and things that give him glory. Absolutely. But she was pushy. Yeah, really, really, really interesting. You know the story. You know the story. And then the next one is, he's not here, but Jairus' daughter. If Jairus has a daughter, that's going to be fantastic, isn't it? It will actually be Jairus' daughter. We have a Jairus playing the drums. I thought that was fantastic. But great story. Yeah, and Jesus, again, raises a child from the dead. It's incredible, isn't it? It's like this is true. This is what happened. Yet he raises a child from the dead. So it's all going on in chapter 8, really, we're not going to look at these stories. Read them when you get home. But that's fantastic, isn't it? That's fantastic. We're up to chapter 9, and I'm going to read it for you. I'm reading from the NIV. If you've got your beautiful red Bibles, open them up and have a look. Luke chapter 9. Here we go. This is what Jesus is doing now. So he said, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Lord Jesus, just fill me with your spirit. Keep me true to your word and glorifying to you. We just ask that your presence come and minister. Amen. So the disciples had followed Jesus around. They'd listened to all his teaching. They've seen Jesus do all these miracles. They've seen Jesus raise the dead. They've seen Jesus feed loads of people. They've seen Jesus cast out demons. They've seen Jesus stop the storm. They've seen Jesus do all this stuff. However, up until this point, they hadn't actually done any of this stuff. It was just Jesus doing all this stuff so far. The disciples had just tagged along and watched what was going on. They'd not actually done. They'd been very, very passive, or relatively passive participants in what was going on. And up until this point in Luke, there is actually no indication that the intention would be for them to do any of this stuff or get involved at all. So they just follow Jesus and wander around following him so far. Jesus hadn't said anything to the contrary. Nothing had happened to the contrary. They probably thought, the disciples, that Jesus does all this stuff. However, we're not intended to do any of this stuff. And my faith is not a participation sport, really. We just sit back, we can watch, we can just let Jesus do the stuff, really. Yeah? So this is a critical, significant moment in the history of the church and the story of Luke. Because so far they haven't done anything. Imagine if this story wasn't in. The disciples would be saying, well, we're not really supposed to tell anybody about the good news of the kingdom of God. It's like, if Jesus is not here, we'll do nothing. Or we're not supposed to do anything about the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to heal the sick. We're not supposed to do anything at all. Jesus is doing a great job. He's doing all the teaching. That is great. Fantastic. Job done. This passage, Jesus is giving the disciples the power and the authority to do the things that he did. To deliver the news he's delivering. That is massive, isn't it? It's a massive, 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 massive thing. The story, this story, closes down the segment for the disciples of being non-participatory members of a party that are following Jesus. Is that like you? Are you like the disciples before this story? Yeah, church is a non-participatory thing. We're not supposed to do anything that Jesus did at all. We just listen, we just enjoy, we sit back, we don't get involved. Not for me, nothing happening. Lovely. The word that came to me is lovely sermon, vicar. Yeah, you were a lovely sermon, vicar. Christian, yeah? You know what I mean, don't you? Yeah? That was lovely. Really enjoyed that. Thank you. You go on and just live your life, yeah? There's loads of Christians like that. Lovely sermon, vicar. Definitely. Well, to me, Jesus wants us to do stuff. There's a clear indication that there is a precedent, that the intention is, as a follower of Jesus, that we will do similar things to what Jesus did, if not the same. Do you believe that? Or are we lovely sermon vicar Christians? Yeah? I'm not a vicar, by the way. Not a vicar. Well, what's going on? It's challenging stuff, isn't it? I'm quite challenged by it. It's challenging. What's going on? Well, Jesus is throwing them in the story into the deep end of stuff, isn't he? He's properly throwing them. I remember when I used to be a manager of a call centre, and I used to be one of the training managers, and we used to train the guys who were going to take phone calls for 2 weeks, and we'd sit them down in a classroom. It was the most boring thing. And would you like 2 to 3 weeks about TV licensing? Would you like to do that? It's dull, very, very dull. But they sit there and they tell them how to do it, and they give them worksheets how to do it, and they do tests like that, and they'd sort it out, and, oh, you ready to go now yet? And at the end, I go, right, well, what we're going to do, we're going to just get your headsets on. You just get your headsets, sit at these tell sets at these telephones, and I'm going to count to 10, and you're taking live calls. And they go, oh, no, we're not going to take live calls. Yes, you are. You're going to be dealing with members of public. They used to freak out, absolutely, just lose their mind. They were dealing with people. And they were asked stuff, and customers asked them stuff, and we were always there to help them. But the best way of learning was to throw them into the deep end. If you sat in a school all the time, just learning, doing nothing, they'd never improve. And this is kind of what Jesus is doing here. He's told them a lot of stuff. He's shown them a lot of stuff. Now he's like kicking them out and he's getting them to do stuff. Off they go, yeah, in twos. Yeah, and that's how you learn. The learning through doing. And do you know what? They might get it wrong. Later in Luke, they do get it wrong sometimes. And Jesus was there to help them. But he does want them to go out and learn via doing. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see what else Jesus does. Let's see how he does it. Yeah, let's see how he does it. Okay. Are you challenged yet? Do you sometimes think, I've learnt an awful lot. I just wish you need to go do something, guys. Crack on. Enjoy. See what happens. It might go horribly wrong, but Jesus will sort it out. Yeah? Fantastic. So, first, if you bring up the next line. So this is what Jesus is really interested in. So when Jesus had called the 12 together, the first thing that he did, that he brought his followers together. Yeah? There is a gathering of his followers before he sends them out. Jesus gathers and then he sends out. That's very, very important to the life of the church, yeah? Because I don't believe you can do effective evangelism if you're not associated with the local church or a church, because Jesus gathers to be sent out. Yeah, he gathers his disciples. Yeah, Jesus works through a people. Yeah, that's his way he gathers. Yeah, I believe a church service is really, really important because we're gathered together to seek him and worship him and be filled and have relationship, and then to be sent out into wherever you're going to go over the next week. Yeah? So important. Yeah? If you gather, you're going to be so much more effective when you go out into the world and preach the gospel. Yeah? So a really, really important principle. Terry Virgo is the guy who founded New Frontiers. And he's quite he doesn't say a great deal, does Terry Virgo, but he put a quote on Facebook saying, if all Sunday meetings are focused on outsiders, where do believers gather to express their heartfelt worship and cultivate their united fascination with God? It's really, really interesting. This service, although we do want visitors, we do want to make people feel welcome, is a gathering of God's people to go out into the world. Absolutely, where we seek his presence, we worship, we glorify him. Yeah, I think that's a really, really important principle. Yeah. What does he do next? So he gathers his people. Next, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. Jesus gave his disciples power and authority. There's two parts to that, power and authority. Power is an ability to do something. Authority is the permission to use it. Yeah, so Jeff, you'll know about this. Jeff, stand up. I do believe, I'm picking, for the, or whoever, yeah, either Jeff will do. So Jeff, I think, has the power to lift me over his head, probably, and then pick me up.
I've got a
bad shoulder
through this.
Yeah, so one of those Jeffs has the power, yeah? They could lift me up, couldn't they? Or they could do all sorts. But actually, I don't really want Jeff to do that, so do not give him the authority to lift me over his head. Yeah? The two things are two different things, yeah? Angela has the power, the doctor, to heal. Yeah? But actually, it's the National Health Service and the government that give her the permission to do it. So Jesus gives them two things, power and authority. So Jesus gives his disciples power to drive out demons and the authority. Yeah? Do you understand the difference between the two? Yeah? I believe that Jesus, this applies to us as well. Later on, Matthew 28, Pentecost, the filling of the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus has given us power and authority to drive out demons and heal the sick and preach the good news. Do you believe that? You have the power and authority. That's a biggie, isn't it? It's a bit scary, but you have the power and authority to do it. Same today. You're all looking worried. You do. 100% believe that he gave it to his disciples. He gives it to us. Power and authority. Next bit. Verse 2. And this is what he does. So he's gathered them, he's given them power and authority, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Same for us. Yeah? We're here to proclaim the kingdom of God through our lives, through witness, through miracles. You have the power and authority to do it. To declare the goodness, the authority, the making right of the world, the salvation, and God's rule and reign over the earth. Do you believe that? That's what's happening here. Heal the sick. In the gospel, I really, really believe we have the power and authority to do that as disciples of Jesus. I do. I'm not bonkers. I really, really, really do believe we have the power and authority to heal the sick. I also think it's very tightly linked to the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Yeah, God heals for his glory and the power and authority of the kingdom of God. That's why sometimes God doesn't heal, sometimes he does, whatever. But actually, we have the power and authority to proclaim the kingdom of God through healing. Do you believe that? That's radical, isn't it? It's not just Jesus, it's us. That's good news as well, isn't it? It's good news, yeah? Yeah? What does he do next? He says some weird stuff next. Jesus does say some weird stuff sometimes, but it's not that weird. He said, he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Yeah? It's a bit of a strange thing to say. So, as Christians, what's Jesus saying? Is he saying, when we go into the world, so when you leave here today, what we need to do, when we're preaching and teaching the gospel or doing everything, we're not allowed to take anything with us. Yeah, that's okay, Jesus, not a problem, yeah. We don't have staffs, so when you go into the world and preach the gospel, you must not take a staff. It's fine. unless you're a little bit elderly and you need a staff. But yeah, don't take a staff. No, Jesus is not saying that. Yeah, but it's not a problem, is it? What about a bag? So go into the world, preach the gospel, don't take a bag. Well, it's all right for fellas, isn't it? But you ladies might struggle, yeah? So like, if you have to throw all your bags away, yeah, bit of a problem. If you want to declare the gospel, you need to get rid of your handbags, ladies. Well, so Jesus is not saying that, yeah? He's not saying that. What about bread? Well, we don't wander around carrying a loaf of bread, do we? Yeah, it's not something we do, so we're okay with that. So we can talk about Jesus, even if we're not wandering around with Horvis from the shop. Yeah, it's okay, it's fine. Is Jesus saying that? Gets a bit hard now. No money. Ooh. Don't say credit card or debit card, so we're all right. It's okay, it's fine. We can declare the gospel without any money. That's not problematic. Last one, no extra shirt. You're going to smell, aren't you, really, with no extra shirt? Yeah? It's a bit of a straight. So go into the world and preach the gospel with no extra shirt. It's like, we're going to stink, boys and girls, if Jesus thought that was true. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not that bothered about the individual items. What he's saying and what he's trying to tell his disciples in this situation, he wants his disciples to be 100% reliant on him and his provision. Yeah. So when you go into the world and you preach the gospel and you pray for the sick and you do whatever you're doing that glorifies God, you need to be 100% reliant on his power and his authority and his provision. Yeah? Yeah, you don't. It's all right, ladies, you can keep your handbag. Yeah, why? Because it's for his glory. Yeah, it's for his glory. And that's what he wanted his disciples to do. He actually lets them have their stuff back in Luke chapter 22, if you want to check it out. He does let them have their stuff back. Yeah? Why? Because it built their faith when they travelled. Yeah? He wanted to build their faith, build their trust in him. Just like the storm, he wanted their faith to be completely with Jesus. When we go out into life, are we ultimately 100% reliant on God's provision? Yeah, it's challenging, isn't it? Sometimes I'm not, yeah, but you know what? God has got it. God will provide. Yeah, he will provide. He will provide bread. He will provide the sustenance for you to go and do whatever. He will. Next thing he says, verse 4, he says, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. What is Jesus saying? Well, Jesus says, whichever house you stay in to the disciples, he's saying, be content. Be content. He didn't want his disciples going somewhere, going really, really well, and, oh, there's a better house over there. Let's go over here, and let's go over here, or let's go over here. He's saying to his disciples, stay where you stay, be content. Big problem for me, and probably for you guys, is contentment. Are you content? I don't know, I always want the newest gadget and the newest phone. I want to see the newest thing. Who shops a lot on Amazon? Is it just me? Yeah. Or you want the newest thing? You want to go to that garden centre for the newest thing? Yeah, we develop, or we want a better job, we want a better this, we want a better that, everything in the world is thrown at us to be not content. Would you agree? Yeah, but Jesus, actually, one of the principles is saying to his disciples as he goes out, he's like, be content. Yeah, who knows this one? Where's it from? I can do all things. Who can finish it? Through Christ who strengthens it. I can do all things. What, can you fly? Can you fly? No, you can. I don't think it means that. What he's actually referring it to, Philippians chapter 4, this is what Paul actually said, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what is need to be in need. I know what it is to be plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed, hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That famous verse is about being content. Yeah? So disciples go, so there's a better house over there. Let's go there. Da-da. Be content. Be content. Verse 5, if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against that. Then what's Jesus saying? So if someone says, do you know, I love Jesus, Sue. It's fantastic. You know what, Jesus, do you want to believe in Jesus? You go, no. And then you go, is Jesus saying that? Yeah? Pretty strange, isn't it, really? I don't think actually Jesus is saying that. But in context, that's what kind of you did. Yeah, as if you left somewhere with a little disdain. But what is it saying? It's saying that the problem, if the message is rejected, is not with the message or not with God. Yeah, that's what Jesus is saying. If the message, if the gospel is proclaimed, heard, and not accepted, we don't change the message. We don't change. God doesn't change. Yeah, the problem is not with the message. The problem is with them, and they need to take responsibility. Our responsibility, we can't make Christians. Our responsibility is to declare the good news of the kingdom of God, pray, sow seeds. But if the message is rejected, yeah, it's their responsibility. Move on. And it says, so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So the disciples were told what to do, and they did it, and it happened. And they went out in faith. Jesus was with them in the situation. So really interesting, the gospel was proclaimed in places that at that point Jesus couldn't necessarily get to because of the crowds. Yeah, and the message was multiplied. Yeah, where it was being taken to the villages, yeah, and all over the place, yeah. The impact was multiplied. The gospel and the good news were being preached in all villages in Galilee. People were getting healed everywhere. The power of the gospel moved mightily across that area. Is that not exciting? Yeah, bit of a weird message, this one, I think, but it's really, really exciting. Really, really, really exciting. So, this morning, after that story, what points to think about really quickly? Well, are you reliant? Are we reliant on Jesus? Where does your help come from? Who are you putting your faith in for provision? And that's all thing of friends, of finances, of food, of all the things that you need to provide and sustain. When you go out and preach the gospel, yeah, when you preach the good news, who sustains and provides? Where are you putting your faith and your trust? This morning, are you content? Do you struggle with contentment? Or are there idols in your life? Yeah, stuff that's in your life, like that you you know, when you're feeling a little bit poor, yeah, when you're struggling financially, do sometimes you feel really, really like that? Absolutely. But actually, God has got it. Yeah, he wants you to be content in his provision. Yeah, you are, I can get through all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's about contentment and God's provision for you. Are you content? Being a disciple of Jesus is not an armchair activity. It's not. So often we sit and listen and go to conferences, and I've heard something say, are we fat on truth? Yeah? Often we know what to do, we just need to do it, don't we? Very, very much so. I'm not saying learning and reading and Bible study is fantastic, but actually, Jesus clearly wanted his disciples to go and do something. Yeah? He did. It's not enough just sitting there and doing nothing. Yeah, Jesus' intention was to go and do stuff. Crack on, boys and girls. Yeah, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a participation sport, not a sitting back sport. If you have God's Holy Spirit, you have the power and authority to do these things. Do you believe that? As a church, do you believe that we have the power and authority to do these things? If you come across somebody sick, do you pray for them? Yeah, do you are filled with God's Holy Spirit. Yeah, you have the power and authority to do these things. So that's the power and permission to do them. Do you believe that? That's good news as far as I'm concerned. Are you aware of that power and authority? Don't know about you, but I want more of that power and authority in my life. I want more of that faith in my life. I want more of that slight risk in my life. Healing on the streets from 9 a.m. to 12 a.m. sounds fantastic fun. Yeah, it's exactly what the disciples were doing. They probably went to bed a little bit earlier. But we have that power and authority. I'm going to pray, but I want you to stand, if you want, in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, a greater awareness of that power and authority to do the things that Jesus commissioned his disciples to do. I don't believe he's withheld that from us. I honestly don't believe so. So I'm going to take a gamble. If you want a greater awareness of that power and authority, more faith in your life, to pray, to declare God's good news, to know that you are a child of God and a disciple of Christ, and you have the power and authority to do that, I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to pray. Fantastic. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that it wasn't just you, but Lord, you exercised and gave power and authority to your disciples to go and declare your good news of the kingdom of God, to be totally reliant on you and to heal the sick and to cast out unclean spirits and to heal, Lord Jesus, and to just do these things, Lord. We just pray, I pray that your Holy Spirit comes this morning and fills our little congregation, Lord Jesus, of more of awareness of that power and authority that we have. We just pray for testimonies of people praying for, and the sick are healed, Lord Jesus. We just pray for more testimony of encounters where the good news is declared, Lord, and you act in people's lives, Lord Jesus. We just pray for more places for us to stay. Help us to be content, Lord Jesus. Help us to be totally reliant on you. And we just pray that you are glorified more and more and more and more in this church and in this place. Lord, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you, but your intention was to send out as well, Lord. So we just really pray that your Spirit comes down and fill us till we are full of awareness of your power and your authority. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go out and do stuff and see what happens. See what happens. You have the power and authority in the name of Jesus to do these things. Amen.